The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Okay, here we are on the New Year's Eve. This is a Tuesday. That's right. Your New Year's obviously falls on the same day of the week that Christmas did, whenever that may be. The merchants of the earth got that all figured out, don't they? 5 minutes after the hour, and we are back. And by the way, I go to Erin Fussell when I need documents notarized. She has a website called Professional Notary Online, and she can notarize your document in all 50 states. Seriously. She has the license to do all 50 states, so you don't have to go running off or waiting on people to do a phone call. All you have to do is schedule a time for Erin Fussell to hook up with you by calling 941-400-8282. That's an easy number to remember. You don't have your pencil and paper handy? Ouch! You know, I give a lot of, not advice, but, you know, a lot of tips and tricks and all sorts of other things on the show. We can't give legal and professional, you know, we're not licensed to do that here, even though I've done an insane amount of research into credit, FDCPA, getting rid of unwanted documents out of the land records, foreclosures, and all that other good stuff. But, you know, the thing is that remote online notaries are necessary, and you need to know that they're out there. Erin Fussell has... I mean, it takes, what, 5 minutes? Both my wife and I have used your services. 941-400-8282, professionalnotaryonline.com. And Erin will fix you up if you need a remote notary for anything this year. Now, of course, as we discussed yesterday, the problem is the weather. This is, as of tomorrow, January. Yep. And, of course, Fox News, New York Post, everybody, now they're all starting to jump on the polar vortex bandwagon. It's headed for the U.S. It will bring exceptionally cold temps in the new year. Weather models are screaming. And I'm like, weather models are screaming. Oh, weather models. I envision this, you know, beautiful woman that's got weather printed across her chest, and she's screaming into the TV camera. No, that's not exactly the model that it was a thought. Come on. Give me a break. It's New Year's Eve here. I just like the way they write these headlines. It's so funny. Sometimes they come up with these things and it's just like, wow. January, of course, is always cold. Sometimes February is cold. March is cold. In like a lion, out like a lamb, or is it the other way around? Anyway, so when you have this so-called vortex, what they're basically saying is this is Arctic air that's going to come down and invade the country. Contrary to all those global warming folk out there, they come out and they start screaming that the earth is heating up. Well, that doesn't, you know, if we go into the ice age, people, I feel for you, my lovely wife and I had a conversation about this, about the people living in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, and parts of South Carolina, Georgia that were affected by the hurricanes, that they might be living in sub-zero freezing temperatures as a result of this. And the only thing you can do is try to find out if there's any way you can help. Encourage them to go to and seek shelter to get out of the cold. Because living in a tent through this thing is not smart. So we know that a lot of you have been displaced. People you know may have been displaced. And that would be a good idea to get them out of the cold at least through the middle of January, because temperatures are moving further, you know, and closer to the surface of the earth. And of course, the temperatures at 5,000 feet, when you're looking at stuff like this, you might want to also, and the airlines are going to hate me for this, but you might also, once this vortex comes in the middle of the month, you might want to limit your travel, air travel. And why is that? Because of de-icing issues on aircraft. That makes sense? If you get bad weather, not only are flights going to be delayed and canceled, but planning something during a vortex when there are icing conditions, if the plane is not properly de-iced, well, what do you think is going to happen once it gets airborne? You think it's going to thaw out? Nope. You get up into the 36,000 foot range, it gets bitter cold up there. Lack of oxygen, all that other good stuff. Cabin is pressurized, but what about what's going on out in the wings? Think about it before you make those travel arrangements during the middle of January. If there is going to be an Arctic outbreak, you might want to think twice about rearranging your travel schedule, because de-icing is going to become an issue. I'm just throwing it out there. Look, if you disagree, call me up and tell me about it. Number is 208-216-6100. If that doesn't make sense to you, I mean, why would you travel at the most bitter time of the year? A lot of people think it's a great time to go on vacation, but I mean, how comfortable is that? I mean, you're going to have to literally bundle up when weather forecasters are sitting there saying, hey, temperatures are expected to begin dropping from the Rocky Mountains to the East Coast around Thursday. The real plunge is going to come between 7 and 14 days from now. I'm looking at basically sometime, if I'm looking at my calendar right, we're looking at the temperatures becoming unbearable around the 14th of the month. So about halfway through the month, the temperatures are going to dip down below freezing for the high if it hasn't already done so. And of course, there could be freezing conditions setting in as far south as the Gulf Coast and even into Florida. Though it's still too early to forecast exact temperatures, this, of course, is my definition of weatherman on crack. You don't talk about stuff like that or make predictions when you don't know, because you scare people when you do that. So we have to logically look at this thing, and we look at their maps, and we look at the dip in the jet stream, and of course all the climate change freaks out there are all saying it's our fault. We did this. Man must be made extinct. Well, that includes all of you climate forecast people. You climate change people need to become extinct just like the rest of us, if that's the way you think. They think that man is responsible for all of this. You know, I hate to say this, but the world is what the world is. And if you're going to continue to believe the lie, I feel sorry for you. So the North Pole, by the way, if you hadn't been paying attention to the ice shelf up there, it's actually growing. It's not melting. The Arctic shelf is actually hardening. I find that unusual that the climate change people are all about themselves, saying that, oh yeah, the Earth is warming, and so all the Antarctic and the Arctic shelves, ice shelves are all going to melt and flood the, yeah. Okay. World's going to do what the world's going to do, right? Those of you who got ripped off because Bernie made off with your money, I like to use that little cliche, Bernie Madoff. The victims of his scheme are finally getting their $131 million payout from the compensation fund, bringing the total payouts because of his little Ponzi scheme to $4.3 billion, according to the DOJ. Madoff, of course, as you know, died behind bars in 2021 while serving out his 150-year sentence. And was he the only one sentenced to jail after everything that these hedge funds did? I mean, Lehman Brothers was allowed to go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy way back then and came out of bankruptcy in 2022. I talk about foreclosures on this program because obviously that's something that is near and dear to my heart. I've been involved with it since 2009 when I started doing research way back when. My first, I was online looking for my own records, okay? I was a victim of this stuff too. How do you think I learned about it? Because I saw mortgage electronic registration systems in my land record and I went, who the hell is this? What is this, MERS? Yeah, that's how I figured it out. I'm like, why do I see them on all of these mortgages? What the hell's going on? I didn't even know anything about securitization at the time. I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know they were setting up these trusts. And you know what? 99.9% of most Americans don't even know what these things are. They're not paying attention because they got their little comfort zones. They don't want to leave their little comfort zones. No, they don't want to do any research. They don't want to find out who they're actually giving their money to. Who's making money off of all this? This mortgage stuff. You know, so they come after Madoff. I think they're kind of missing the boat here. Talk about that after we come back from the break here in the Krieger Files for this Tuesday. Stay with us. Be right back.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
And we don't take that lightly. If you caught that, here's the problem with America. We have a government that is out of control. And we have a government that apparently doesn't want to protect itself because Chinese hackers remotely breached the U.S. Treasury Department earlier this month, stealing documents from its workstations, according to a letter the agency sent to lawmakers this week. That would be yesterday. Now, the word's just getting out. The Treasury Department described the breach as a major incident. Chinese state-sponsored hackers on December 8th. You see how long it took to get out? They basically utilized a third-party software service provider, Beyond Trust, accessing certain unclassified documents, according to the letter issued by an assistant Treasury secretary, stating the hackers gained access to a key used by the vendor to secure a cloud-based service to remotely provide technical support for Treasury Department offices and users. With access to the stolen key, the threat actor was able to override the service's security, remotely access certain Treasury DO user workstations, and access certain unclassified documents maintained by those users. Interesting. And now we're just hearing about it. See, you're not hearing about this on mainstream news, are you? No. Let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, yeah, Bill Gates. I forgot to tell you, he's back in the news again. We were talking about these mosquitoes injecting human test subjects with a parasite. Well, Bill Gates has basically funded. This is a foundation-backed Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands. They are creating and claim that they now have an effective way of using mosquitoes to deliver some protection against malaria in unsuspecting humans and possibly other payloads in the future as well. Well, I got a load for you, Bill. You're a criminal. Imagine that. Transforming mosquitoes into flying vaccinators. Yep. Let's see. What is his name? Shigeto Yoshida, the lead researcher on a 2010 study that modified mosquito saliva, could be delivered in such a way, these Leishmania vaccines to mice when sucking their blood. Imagine that. It was just like a conventional vaccination, but with no pain and no cost. All you got to do is just, you know, make these mosquitoes airborne carrying vaccinators. Interesting, huh? Did you, where is the informed consent on this? That's what I want to know. Oh, well, we have to stop malaria. So, you know, Bill Gates, but you know, the man is twisted, folks. Hate to say it. It's no wonder people that, you know, despise Microsoft. They just never liked Bill Gates, and now we know why. Something else that you're not hearing about in the mainstream media news is that the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, God, I'm going to be glad when she's out of office. Oh, direct budget support is vital for maintaining critical functions within Ukraine's government during the winter months because, God, it's going to be cold there. And so what does the Biden administration do? They're giving Ukraine another $5.9 billion of money they don't have. They're going to try to stick it to us and make us feel guilty like we're obligated to pay it. Folks, this is federal debt. This is not your debt. This is all debt from the federal government that is in bankruptcy. And when you're in bankruptcy and you're the federal government, you get the right to spend money you don't have. This is how insane this whole thing is. So Ukraine is going to get almost $6 billion more in military budget support. I'm going to be glad when January 20th gets here, if in fact they don't screw up January 6th and screw up January 20th. When the 21st gets here and the executive orders start flying, because I guarantee it, they're already in the making. We're hoping that they'll restart Keystone XL2. We're hoping doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's a lot of things that, you know, politicians say to get elected. I will be thoroughly delighted when I see RFK Jr. getting in the driver's seat at the HHS, because what's the old saying? Heads are going to roll. All right, so now we're back to the state of Ohio. New story out from Open the Books. The DEI blitz has reached the Buckeye State. Ohio State University is spending tens of millions of dollars on DEI, getting far-left grants and foreign donations. Isn't that amazing? Now, why should we fund them? You have to understand that Ohio State University is a Big Ten school, home of the Buckeyes, right? It operates in what's now a dark red state when it comes to politics, and among the famed recent alumni are Patricia Heaton, everybody loves Raymond, and our own VP, J.D. Vance. Not exactly where you'd expect to find the hub of DEI-related activity, but yep, here it is. And Open the Books has discovered it. According to the Chronicles of Higher Education, DEI offices are now banned in seven public state systems, most recently throughout the University of North Carolina schools. Five additional states have also taken smaller steps to rein in DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, I hate to say it, but what does DEI do primarily? Seriously, can you answer that in just one simple statement? What does DEI do? Because people are just like, what? Is it E-I-E-I-E-I-O? No, it's not that. Old MacDonald didn't have a farm. See, the thing is he had to feed all the animals equally, right? Remember Animal Farm? You remember what happens at the end of that? They all implode on each other because there's some sort of discrimination going on here. Now, DEI, what it does, chiefly, is it basically upends meritocracy. Meritocracy is what America's always relied on, which is why it's become the greatest economic wealth center in the world. And when you take away that and substitute DEI and screw with the economy, people lose their jobs. Because other people don't want to support garbage like that. It's a big turnoff. That's pretty serious. Okay, now I want to get back to this thing, because most people, if you don't know what securitization is, we need to have a conversation. I know people are going, oh, you're not going to start up on that again. You know what? I want to have some people on the show this week coming up. I mean, it is a new year. I'd like to have people on here that have been victims of securitization and people who have tried to attack the system and challenge this, all of a sudden get disbarred. Attorneys, yeah, they get disbarred. And, you know, God forbid they speak up. Well, I mean, look, if they're not going to give you your law license back, I mean, seriously, if they're not going to do it, you might as well speak up and tell everybody what shysters these people are. Yeah, you remember that enemy of the state, and they called them what, eggplant? Yeah. you gotta love this. You know, who says it isn't discriminatory? It is. I mean, if you watched Inside Job or you watched The Big Short or 99 Homes, I mean, these are three movies that everybody should watch if you're going to spend your New Year's Day doing anything but watching college football. You may want to think about just getting one of these, getting access to one of these movies and watching it. And start educating yourself. Because securitization, if you get the book, The Big Short, there's also another book out by Gretchen Morgenson called Reckless Endangerment. I have a copy of that. That's one of the first things I wanted to get. Because it goes into detail like The Big Short does on securitization, which basically is they set up a hedge fund. And they put out, like every other entity out there that wants to raise money, they basically put out what we call a 424 B5 prospectus. And a prospectus basically is a pitch piece designed to lure investors to put their money into these pools of mortgages. See, because they don't actually have the money, so they got to go out and raise it. So they drafted up a 300-page document talking and extolling the virtues and ingratiating themselves self-aggrandizing how wonderful they are and how people should invest in their little scheme because the payouts are huge. And you see, way back when, in the early 2000s, all these pension funds and everybody else bought into that garbage. Oh, yeah, let's buy a whole bunch of this stuff. And see, what happened in 2008? Everybody's pension took a dump. Lehman Brothers, yeah, took a dump. Bear Stearns took a dump. And, of course, Bernie Madoff made off with a bunch of people's money. That wasn't funny, but, I mean, hey, they're getting compensated. But what about all those people that were investing in these pension funds that basically had an investment in these securities that went belly up? How many people actually studied the fact that these, according to the Internal Revenue Code, these little tax-exempt remix or real estate mortgage investment conduits, these SIVs, SPVs, whatever you want to call them, special purpose vehicle, special investment vehicle, that's what they are. I'm giving you the acronym spelled out. These are vehicles that have this prospectus out there, and it says, if you invest in this, here's what you can expect to get for a return. So what happens with the people that draft all this stuff up, your Countrywides and your people like that, your New Century Mortgage Corporations? Well, they went belly up. They went under. Why? Because they were committing mortgage fraud. They were adding zeros to people's income so they could qualify for mortgages that they couldn't pay. And the sad thing about it is they didn't realize they were being duped, and the people that were doing it knew what they were doing and aren't in jail like Bernie. We'll be back after the news break with more conversation. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we are back from the break and continuing the conversation about securitization. Yeah, I mean, it's one of these end-of-the-year discussions I think we need to have, because we need to start doing some research, because the foreclosure crisis that's going on right now that the mainstream media does not want to talk about. I mean, what do you think happens when they choke off the economy and people are out of a job and they're just barely scraping by and they're having garage sales and doing all sorts of things just to keep the lights on and the food on the table? And, of course, the hazard insurance, that's the first thing to go. And when the company, your mortgage loan servicer finds out, your mortgage company finds out that your hazard insurance has been canceled because you didn't make your premium payment. That's if you self-escrow. And a lot of people don't think about doing that. No, they just don't make their mortgage payment, and then everything goes to hell in a handbasket. And next thing you know, you get notices from these mortgage loan servicers, and they claim that they are representing one of these REMIC trusts we talked about before we went to break. Well, according to the Internal Revenue Code, Section 860, subparagraph D through G, you need to read it. That's Internal Revenue Code, Section 860. This is what the bankruptcy court uses. The Internal Revenue Code basically says that these tax-exempt REMIC institutions can only stay open for 1 year. Think about it. And then you ask yourself, well, if they can only stay open and have tax-exempt status for 1 year, what happens after that? They close. That's what happens. The servicers are still paying the investors. But the tax-exempt status and everything else, I mean, once it's already open for business, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, where is all the money that goes to these servicers? Where does it all go? Does it go to the actual investors? Well, if the REMIC is still functioning, yes. But see, the investors themselves, the reasons these things are set up as bankruptcy remote tax exempt REMICs is because the investors bear the burden of filing taxes and paying income tax on all the profits they get based on their investment. This is like investing in the stock market. If you make money in the stock market, you have to declare what you made as profit. If you lose money, well, sorry, you lost it. This is the same way that these REMICs work if they went belly up, which a lot of them did way back in 2008. People do not understand that securitization is the means by which these major banks raise money. You remember I've said previously on this show, about people going out and getting a mortgage loan, and they go to the closing table, and they think that they're the borrower. Now, that's not an EBS test. Now, what that is the warning buzzer saying, no, your thought process has to change. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, one of those things should be to study what is going on with your very own mortgage if you still have a mortgage out there. In deed of trust states, of which they are in the majority, the reason that the banks want deed of trust states is so they don't have to go to court and prove up anything. They can just, oh, you're in default and we're selling your house on the courthouse steps. That's why they want deed of trust all over the U.S. But you see, we still have mortgage states, which means you get your day in court because they're going to file. They have to file a notice of foreclosure. They have to send you a notice of default and acceleration, a note to, you know, that basically some sort of paperwork that threatens that they're going to accelerate the loan, call the whole thing due, and then take you to court and take your house. Now, does one realize, and I mean, I've talked to a lot of attorneys about this, and you know what the general consensus is? A homeowner can stay in their house for at least 2 years just by simply filing answers themselves. Seriously. But you got to study. You can't just go out there and write, well, you see, I was late on my mortgage. What did you just do? You just admitted you were late on the mortgage payment. That's exactly why. Why did you do that? We have people out there that are so stupid, they will admit to anything. What happened to your Fifth Amendment right according to the Constitution? I mean, you think that's bad? I mean, how many companies know out there, how many companies know that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit has just basically reversed a lower court's decision overturning the injunction against a constitutionally dubious law that requires the country's estimated 32.6 million active companies to submit their private ownership information to a central database ran by the Treasury Department, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN. And guess what? You have to file the report with the Treasury if you own a business by tomorrow. Companies formed in 2024 are required to file within 90 days of their formation. Supposedly, this enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act, you know, it's been reinstated along with the impending January 1st, 2025 filing deadline. Wow. See, here's a real problem. A lot of companies don't even know this. They're going to get caught in here. They're going to get caught in this trap. And then what are they going to get penalized? What is it, $500 a day or whatever, $250,000 fine or whatever? You know, I mean, who cares? I mean, this is what they've done. Millions of companies. I mean, this is costing them money to stop what they're doing because FinCEN insists on all this information to try to combat money laundering. You see how this works? Here we have these Federal Reserve notes, which Congress spends like a sailor. They've jacked up interest rates, and now they're screwing over your boss, making him go in and having to file documents showing that he is a actual U.S.-based company with no foreign ties, and he's not laundering money. And then they get more information out of you. They know where you are. They know where your boss is. They know what he's doing so they can monitor you. This is all part of the surveillance state again. But I mean, if you don't do it, they got fines and penalties that go right along with it. So you wonder why the cost of borrowing goes up? Well, this is one reason why. And then you get companies like HSBC that goes out there and they manage these trusts we've been talking about, these REMIX. HSBC, Hong Kong, Shanghai Banking Company. Oh, yeah, I said Hong Kong, Shanghai. You know where they are? Well, they're not in San Francisco. I mean, they got branches there. Now, HSBC, man, Buffalo, New York. Oh, they got branches all over. You know, foreign invaders come into the country. See, they all figured out a way, just like we did. All these major banks figured it out, how they can raise money. But you see, again, with securitization, what has to happen? Can you, Mr. Homeowner, Can you actually dig up one of these hedge funds and go over there and say, hey, I want to borrow money directly from you and bypass Bank of America or JP Morgan Chase? You know, back then it was Countrywide and Bear Stearns and all the, I mean, can you actually go to Bear Stearns and say, I want to borrow money to buy a house? No. See, the thing is you have to be way up in the investment echelon in order to do that, like Trump. I mean, Deutsche Bank, I call them douche bank. You can call them whatever you want. I figure if I say douche bank enough, some attorney will go into court and call them douche bank and start an uproar. But the thing is that this bank out of Germany, they approached Trump. And see, Trump got into trouble because of this. You remember what Letitia James went after him on? I mean, this whole thing was stupid. Even Deutsche Bank went in there into court and said, look, we approached him. He didn't come to us. The guy's good for it. We already know that. What are you doing? Well, she didn't care. She gonna get him. Yep, sorry. Letitia James, go eat your fried chicken. That woman needs to be removed from her position. She has done a big disservice because what she's done is the old rope-a-dope, the Sugar Ray Leonard rope-a-dope. She got everybody paying attention to, I'm going to get him. And everybody's going, yeah, well, what about us? How's that going to benefit us? We don't get any of that. No, the state of New York gets all that. Do we get any of it? No. Yeah, New Yorkers, I keep asking this question myself and other people. It's like, look, I know people who have left the state of New York because they can't handle it anymore. It's crazy up there. I'm not saying all New Yorkers are crazy. Don't get me wrong. I'm from Buffalo originally. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, if you are up there, now's the time to leave. And they are doing it. They're leaving in droves because the people that are in power right now in Albany, New York, do not care about you or the horse you rode in on. So, you know, I know the Bills are a good team. I love the Bills. I love the Chiefs, you know. I stay out of it when the two of them are playing each other. You know, we all have to make light of something. But, you know, the thing is that NFL ain't all there is to life, folks. A lot of you are doing better and are much better off than others. But when you have 60% of America living below the poverty line and the government's not doing anything about it, well, maybe we shouldn't be expecting the government to do anything about it, huh? Is the government really designed to bail us all out? I mean, Congress seems to be bailing out everybody it wants to bail out, except us. No, we're left out here to fend for ourselves. Like a dangling chad out of a voting ballot. Yeah. Going to break. We'll be back to finish our discussion here for this segment of the Krieger Files. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back for the final segment here on this Tuesday, New Year's Eve. Anybody got any resolutions out there? Most people don't want to keep them. But I need to let you know that we are in an Article I administrative state right now. The Constitution does not matter after you've signed a contract because, as you know, 110(1), the obligation of a contract shall not be impaired, right? And since this, study the Constitution would be one of those resolutions you should do because, you know, whether you read the document online, read a book, take a class, or follow other content on the Internet, knowing the supreme law of the land's got lots of benefits. Because then you can recognize what a contract is and the fact that you've signed one. It's called a mortgage or a deed of trust. And it basically obligates you to pay somebody. But you see, here's the problem. And there is a problem. If the money came out of one of these REMIC trusts, the document you signed at the closing table is a lie. Did you hear what I just said? You are not the borrower. before we went to break, I told you, you think that you can go to one of these hedge funds and borrow money to buy a house? No, that's not the way the system is set up. No, these banks, these big banks go out and create through their little henchmen these prospectuses, and they pitch these investors, these pension funds and people that you don't have access to. And they turn around and they crank out a document called a mortgage or deed of trust, which basically obligates you and collateralizes your property, which they claim that the REMIC trust has a right to go steal. And that's not what happens at the end. And so you're asking yourself, well, what does happen at the end? Well, see, here's the thing. Let's talk about what happened at the beginning first before we get, you're getting ahead of yourself. You go out and you sign one of these documents at closing. First off, you go in there, you say, well, I'd like to get a loan. That's your first mistake. Because if you don't know anything about securitization, you don't know anything about MERS, you have no business going and getting a loan. But hey, they don't teach that stuff in high school and college. No, this is something that people go to my website, cloudedtitles.com, and they order a book, Clouded Titles, and they read it. And then they go, oh my God, this explains everything. It explains how the market collapsed. It explains about following the money trail. It explains how the land records work. It explains all those things I didn't learn in school. Because why? They don't teach it. I've gone all over the country teaching classes on this stuff. I mean, we're talking into the dozens of classes in cities across the United States from coast to coast. I'm serious. New York to Washington State, Florida to California. Yeah, all over the United States I have been teaching this stuff to people so they get it. While 98% of America just packs up their panties and runs away, they don't understand that they can stay in that property for at least 2 years. But the bigger mistake is they didn't know what they were getting themselves into from the get-go. Because here's the way it works. The big companies go out and they make a deal with these hedge funds, the banks. And then the banks go out and they act like basically pimps, pimping whores, you know, pimping all of these little trust funds out there. Oh yeah, we got money to loan, they say. And so you go running into your Countrywide or whatever. You go running in there and you say, okay, I'm ready to fill out paperwork, but I don't make that much a month. And the Countrywide loan officer goes, hey, add another zero to your income and we'll get you a really nice house. Ooh, that sounds good. What have they just done? They've just committed mortgage fraud. And now you've been tied into the mortgage fraud. Did you even know that? Yeah, that's what's happening. Now you turn around, you get this loan, but you're not the borrower. But yet you sign a contract, a mortgage or deed of trust that says you're the borrower. And MERS is on it. And you're going, well, I don't know what this MERS is. Who cares? I just want the bloody keys to the house. I just want to move in. I want to have the American dream. And then you find out you got screwed. See, what we're looking at is fraudulent concealment and fraudulent misrepresentation. Because what the lender alleged lender didn't tell you when you went to the closing table is that they borrowed the money from their hedge fund to get your house. But they didn't tell you that. They didn't disclose it to you. That's where the fraudulent concealment comes from. And then they misrepresented to you in the contract that you were the borrower. And by the misrepresentation, what do we have? Breach of contract. Because they lied and they knew it when they enticed you to come to the table. Now, can you say it was fraud in the inducement? You could, but, oh, you look at the elements of each of these things. You can't just claim fraud, but that's what everybody does. They go, I was defrauded. I deserve a free house. And that's not the way it works. You don't go into court screaming that you did, because the judge has a mortgage too. You see, judges are stupid. I'm sorry. And, you know, all the attorneys are going to take issue with me and go, oh, Dave, you can't say stuff like that. Really? Well, let me ask you attorneys a question. Who the hell made these judges God when it came to securitization? Because the majority of them don't even know what securitization is. They don't understand how it works. And they sure as hell won't let me testify, because I just was afforded an opportunity earlier this month to fly to California to testify at a jury trial. And the judge canned it the day of jury selection. Why? Because they read my affidavit and they said, ain't no way this guy is going to testify. The jury will give up this guy, the plaintiff, everything he wants, the homeowner. They stole his house. and I knew it, and I found it in the records. And I'm not the only one that I've helped. But the thing is that the judges recognized all of this stuff. They saw all the MERS paperwork. They know who really borrowed the money, and they wanted no part of it. I mean, we're talking state and federal judges that looked at my affidavit and declaration and freaked out. You see, that's why I help homeowners. I've been doing this since 2009, folks, and I came out with Clouded Titles in 2010, and that is your base primer. That is the book that you go get. ClouddedTitles.com. You go get that book and you read it cover to cover. Every time I hold a class and people with Clouded Titles show up, they've got that thing bookmarked, tab, labeled, highlighted. Man, it's their Bible. Because they're in the fight of their lives to keep their property from being stolen out from under them, because 99.9% of all securitized mortgage foreclosures are illegal. Do you understand what I just said? 99.9%. If you can settle with them, you're lucky. There are people who have done so. I'm going to try to have one of them on this week talking about it. Wells Fargo was the target. They looked at my documentation too, and they wanted to settle. So I'm going to have that homeowner on to talk about it. We'll have an attorney on, hopefully later in the week too, that's been disbarred because he tried to fight this stuff. Seriously. And he's not the only one. There's a lot of other attorneys that have been attacked and disbarred because they went against the banks. Because the banks can't let that out of the bag. They can't let people know what's going on. They can't let them know that, look, you weren't the borrower in the first place. We just borrowed the money and then signed a contract with you to screw you over. And the servicer of the loan, who is usually the one that originates it, if they don't pass the servicing rights to somebody else, well, they turn around and they foreclose on your house and they pocket the money. You think that the REMIC trust gets any of that? No, because their REMIC is closed. They can't. They would violate the law. The IRS would be forced to come after them. But does the IRS do it? Oh, no. No, the IRS won't go after these people. I mean, there's enough money out there in these hedge funds that these servicers have that literally they could upright the ship, put the entire country out of bankruptcy, upright the national debt. There wouldn't be any. It would wipe it out. It would wipe out trillions because these securitized mortgages, the papers, are into the quadrillion. It would literally wipe all of our debt out with the major banks, but they can't have that because then we would be trapped, you know, would no longer be trapped in slavery. We would not be enslaved to the banks. We wouldn't have that mortgage payment every month. So do we need a debt jubilee? I mean, what good is that going to do? It just lets people off the hook. Well, the government does it all the time. So why not us? You know, we should just have a jubilee and just wipe out all our debt. And the banks will just love that, right? No. No, the banks won't love that because, see, that's how they're sucking wind out of the economy. We've also had some suggestions from some listeners out there about credit scores and how they can lower and improve their credit scores. Well, that's why I have the credit restoration primer out there at cloudedtitles.com for people to buy, to read, to figure it out. You know, this is not something I can sit there during the course of an hour and share. I can tell you one way to improve your credit score, and that's to get your credit card debt below 30% on each one of your cards. And just keep making the payments until you get it down below 30% and watch your credit score shoot up. See, if you carry a, like you got $1,000, if that's what your credit card is, a $1,000 credit card, and your credit card is, you have a $300 balance, you're within that 30% window. See what I mean? So you're basically 30% of whatever your total credit line is, then your credit scores are going to shoot up when you get to that 30%. Because then you become credit worthy and you make your payments. Now paying every month, you know, they expect you to do it, but what they really love is all that interest you pay. So negotiating and getting out of those high interest cards, and that doesn't mean calling these credit restoration services out there that say, well, we'll merge all your credit cards into one monthly payment. Yeah, that may work, but what do you think the creditors are going to do to your credit report? See, that's where the primer comes in, folks. That's why I have it. CloudedTitles.com. That is it. I will be here tomorrow on New Year's Day. What, you think I was going to take the day off? It's a Wednesday to me, folks. Got to get the word out. We'll talk about resolutions and all sorts of other good stuff tomorrow when we come back, in addition to the news that nobody else wants to talk about. In the meantime, Happy New Year to all of you. Have a safe and happy New Year. Try not to blow your finger off lighting fireworks. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.